Welcome to Cartoonist Kayfabe. My name is Jim Rugg.
I'm Ed Piskor.
Today we're going to look at Darwin Cook's first comic, Ed. But before we do, where should people find your comics?
Patreon.com/Ed Piskor is where I'm serializing my current comics project, Red Room. There's some logo treatments, Jimmy, because covers have to be designed these days, man. It's going to hit print in a couple of months. More news on that later. But what the comic is about, murder on the dark web for fun and profit. So people are streaming videos where crazy atrocities are taking place. People are pledging Bitcoin to have these atrocities occur. And other people are happy to process such requests. $3 gets you the archive. And I have two stories online on the Patreon right now.
I feel like Bitcoin should be sponsoring you. I am plugging my Patreon, patreon.com/JimRugg. I serialized a lot of Street Angel comics on there. There's a lot of process stuff on there. If you're a fan of like Octobriana's process zine, I highly recommend you check it out. And some of my posts are public, so you can go there and kind of get a sample of what's there. It's a lot of how-to. It's a lot of the comics that I'm making. And recently, last week, I just posted my adaptation from The Man Who Was Thursday, which we had talked about on a previous show. So check it out. Lots of PDFs there. Patreon.com/JimRugg. But we are here today, Ed, to look at a very interesting comic that I just recently came across. I've been doing a Darwin Cook dive, looking at all of his great comics, and it turns out he was one of the guys to come out of the Talent Showcase, formerly the New Talent Showcase. The last couple issues switched their names. This is from October 85. It really adds to my appreciation of Cook's journey.
Yeah,
because
sure.
It's like he gets featured, and you would think, you know, we've done this. You send in submissions, and eventually you get a break or you get a story, and it's like, I'm here, I've arrived. Maybe not, you know, it's one small step for you in a long journey. And so, you know, he gets published in a story that looks incredible, really turned out cool, and then doesn't do anything in comics for another 15 years. Goes on to have a great career, opens a design shop, then goes and does Batman animation work with Bruce Timm, and then eventually finds his way back to DC when Mark Chiarello finds a proposal that he had sent to DC and never heard back from. Chiarello, who we've been singing his praises as a really good eye at DC, editor, special projects, art director type, finds Ego Proposal, the Batman story by Darwin Cook, reaches out to Darwin Cook many years later, and his dream was to do comics. So here we go. Darwin Cook returns to comics, but this is kind of an unbelievable artifact and an amazing piece of somebody's journey to becoming a cartoonist.
Comics is really the love of this guy's life in terms of art. Like when he connected with Bruce Timm and those guys to do the storyboards, he just replied to an ad that, believe it or not, was in the Comics Journal looking for storyboard artists for Batman Adventures.
Yeah, it's really unbelievable. You always hear that if you ask somebody how they became a cartoonist, everybody's story is unique. It's almost like the way I broke into the industry, they boarded up the door after I got in. Cook's a good example of that. Yeah. I don't think anybody else is even close. So open up here to his story. His signature's already pretty good, pretty formed. And it's called 10,000 in Small Bills or Girl Dies in like a ransom note lettering style. This is inked by somebody, Tex Blaisdell, but I wonder if Cook is doing the coloring, because the coloring is pretty strong, and you can see that's atypical coloring.
Yeah, it really is. The art style, to me, it's like he was looking at that Steranko Red Tide book, and that's not... When you look at Cook, a lot of stuff, a lot of sort of inspiration comes into mind. Steranko, in terms of line art, doesn't really factor in that much when I look at his stuff. Maybe in storytelling it factors in, but this is like Steranko-inspired stuff. Shouts to Tex Blaisdell, teacher of the first generation Kubert School students. We're talking Steve Bissett, Rick Veitch, Tim Truman, up through the 80s, man. So he even taught Bart Sears.
Wow. Wow. Good call. Glad to know that. Good point on the Steranko influence. What you do see is strong design.
Yeah.
You know, like... you read about Cook, and two influences that you see a lot are like Kirby and Toth, mm-hmm. which makes total sense, but he's such a great designer, and I think that would make sense that he was into Steranko. And remember, you know, this story is pre-animation, which would have also, I think, been a massive influence on what he become when we see the majority of his work.
Yeah, this strip is Steranko Eisner.
Mm. Yeah. So... Great splash page, could be a cover, super cool lettering, even the tilt of the private eye. Love it all. It's wordless. This is a wordless...
You could say silent. You could say silent. I heard that S almost coming out your mouth, man. You could say silent. Don't worry about the fucking dummies.
The crime stuff is cool because we see him go full circle and come back to Parker. Whenever he gets to choose almost whatever he wants to do, like, you see that crime and noir is obviously something that he was into from the get-go, so it's kind of cool to see that part. And the wordless part is amazing to me because, like, this is your, you know, breaking in. Like, you're new, and this is what you're going to do? This is a hard story. This is a ransom story. This isn't just a fist fight or something. There's a ton of storytelling that needs to come through, and he does it wordlessly.
Yeah, silently. Good lighting on these guys, and this is where I'm feeling those Steranko vibes.
100%. And even this could be a panel angles. Right out of Red Tide.
Yeah. These crazy angles and stuff.
I think you're spot on with that for an influence, like the number one influence here.
Even the colors that are chosen.
Yeah, great panel, but I mean that feels like Steranko through and through several of these panels. So, you know, this guy is bringing in the $10,000 in the suitcase to where he was told to go to rescue this woman. And you see the kidnapper person is kind of waiting, you know, like he's definitely got the drop on this guy's at a disadvantage, shows up with his flashlight, sees her, that's a good thing, turns on the light, and there's your kidnapper with the drop on him. Gives him the suitcase, drops his own gun, and then he gets hit and knocked out, and this son of a bitch isn't content to just take the money and get away clean. He's got a can of gasoline. He's going to burn this place down, and with those two in the little cabin. Despicable, man.
Here comes the Eisner stuff right here, man. You really see it. I mean, there's timing things that are happening right here, but this right here, this to that.
Yes.
That's as Eisner as it gets.
It is. Yeah, it is. And it's that gas can has a life of its own, man. He really yanks that rug out from under him, spilling gas on himself, and this match is still hung in the air. Whoosh, instantly. Pretty good. Gets to carry out the woman, presumably the woman that he loves. This is rough, man. Jumps through this window to escape the fire. That's a hard landing for her. She's still bound up, and he's just going through the window and drops her, but seems like they get through okay. Unties her. She seems fine. Off they go, and the money burns up, but who cares? He seems very satisfied with his choice. That's a great story, man. For four pages... A lot happens. It's super clear. I love the way this flame looks. Again, I wonder, is that Cook doing the coloring? Right. Because you have the yellows and reds and white. It's a really good bit of fire, and it's really good. I think my response is based on the color, so I'm curious if that's something that he's doing. And, of course, the red, a really nice contrast with their green of money. But good storytelling, easy to follow, dramatic, ups and downs, conflict. Everything you want there in four pages.
Yeah, for sure, man. You always read interviews with Frank Miller where he talked about, like, I was into this kind of fiction, but these are the only kinds of comics that were available, and I had to kind of mold and model Daredevil to kind of fit my interest. It's cool that Cook jumps into the game with those interests. And, I mean, this is a made-up shit, right? Like, I mean, is this guy some real character?
I don't think so. I was thinking of... I can't remember his name now. Bullock, maybe? There's like a detective cop type character that I think he does in his solo issue.
Mm.
And it sort of reminds me of him. Not quite the same, but it feels like maybe a little reference.
Maybe it's Slam Bradley, the great Siegel and Shuster character or something.
Maybe that's who... Yeah, I think that's who I'm actually thinking of. So maybe at some point we'll look at his solo issue and get into some of that. But I found this and I was just so impressed by it. We look at a lot of like first... attempts by first published work of a cartoonist, and it's almost always raw, different than what they become. And this is different than what I think Cook becomes. I don't know if I would identify this as Cook if I just saw it
right.
With no context, but in terms of storytelling, it's so strong.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I could see the things that he would change too. Like, if it was, you know, a more contemporary, you know, late period Darwin Cook, like, he wouldn't do something this static. And there were some interesting tangents that we saw before.
There's one of, like, the bottom of the code on this line. There's a couple of those.
Yeah, go back one. There was, like, a couple panel bleeds. All you got to do is take that one line out, and then it doesn't bleed into that guy. And the only reason I point that out is because we look at the man with the getaway face, and there were no panel borders, which can be very scary in terms of creating tangents and stuff, and there were zero of those, man. So just an illustration of more raw cartoonist, still very strong, but he grew very far even from, you know, this very good start.
See some more of that, like, nice subtle coloring in the sky where you have your yellow, green, blue.
Yeah.
I suspect this is his color work, because I don't think most people would put that kind of attention in. And it would make sense to me if you love Steranko and Red Tide, it would make sense to me that you would have some ideas on the coloring part.
For sure.
Want to be in control of that, because that's such a big part of that book. And I think it's clear that Steranko is somebody that was on his mind at this point. And why not?
Sure.
You know, no complaint there. Everybody's looking at somebody. That's a pretty good one to look at.
Yeah, agreed, man. What do you say, Jimmy?
Yeah, that's it.
All right, kayfabers, like, follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hit the bell. We'll notify you when new vids are available.
You can find my work at patreon.com/jimrug, and it's process, it's art, it's writing, all the stuff that I'm interested in, all the stuff that goes into my regular work routine, and there are some public posts available there. So patreon.com/jimrug, you can kind of sample what's available there.
Patreon.com/EdPiskor. Two issues of Red Room are available up there right now for the early adopters. Three books get you the complete archive, man, a whole kit and caboodle, and new strips come out every Tuesday.
You can subscribe to the Cartoonist Kayfabe e-newsletter at the links below this video. You can find Cartoonist Kayfabe t-shirts and merchandise at the links below this video.
Give them one more set of merchandise, Jimmy. We'll be on our way.
Read more comics.